The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now the parents of Jesus went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ending, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
It is always a fascinating thing, I think, to see a childhood photograph of somebody that you've only known as a full-grown adult, maybe your parent or your grandparent or somebody that you met when they were much older. It gives you a really new and different perspective on that person, kind of an intimate glimpse into a part of them that you never knew. If you look at the person in the picture closely, you can always recognize the grown-up person, even in the baby roundness of that face, before the marks of age and the lines of care and laughter, before the graying hair, before all the alterations of time and experience had done their work. Still, clearly, there's that person that you know and love, not quite themselves yet as you know them. But somehow, seeing them in that far-off time and place, the time and place that formed them, it helps you to know and to love them even better. I have a picture that I love of my mom standing in front of their house with her very handsome French dad and her tiny little Irish mother and her many brothers. It would have been right in the middle of the Depression years, and everybody looks well scrubbed but a little shabby, I think. My mother was about 6 or 7, I'd say, and she is absolutely glaring into the camera. I've no idea why she was scowling so fiercely in the picture, but I can recognize in that fierce little girl the ferocious determination that my mom always had, that same determination that would hold our family together through many, many hard times. In today's reading, Luke gives us a rare snapshot of our Lord in his childhood. There are apocryphal gospels that offer a few kind of weird and sometimes unpleasant fictional accounts of the boy Jesus. But with the exception of the nativity accounts, this story in Luke's gospel is the only real glimpse that we get in all the Bible of Jesus before his baptism and all too brief ministry as a man. Clearly, Luke thought it was an important scene for us to see, and I want to take a close look at this picture today and to see what it tells us about Jesus and who he was and who he is, and to see how the story helps us to know him better. We see Jesus as a 12-year-old boy making the annual pilgrimage with his parents to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. By Jewish tradition, 13 was the age when a boy would be considered a man, and in particular, a boy of 13 would be considered responsible for his own obedience to the law, similar to many to the age many young children in the Episcopal tradition are confirmed and accept the faith as their own, but taken much more seriously than we generally take it, I'd say. But at 12, a Jewish boy was still a child. His parents were still responsible for his obedience and for his adherence to the law. And that helps us to understand a little bit better why Mary and Joseph reacted the way they did. When we read about John the Baptist, as we did quite a bit during the Advent season, we found that he was very much a loner, even in his youth, living much like the Old Testament prophets, solitary out in the wilderness. But in this picture, we see that Jesus' childhood was much different. We see Jesus growing up as part of a close community of faithful Jews. The journey to Jerusalem, this was something that they did every year. They traveled among family and friends so that when Mary and Joseph didn't see Jesus, it was a whole day before they even bothered to begin to worry about him, because they assumed that he was with relatives or he was playing with the other children. And I find it wonderful that when God decided to take on our humanity and to be born as a real person, he chose to grow up in those kinds of close relationships that most of us grew up in. Mary and Joseph just assumed that their son was off playing with his friends or his cousins, because that's where a 12-year-old boy would be. But this little story lets us see that in all his very normal boyness, Jesus was growing up into himself. There's Trapper. Oh, Trapper. And there must have been so many moments in Jesus' childhood when Mary and Joseph were reminded again and again that their son was not like every other child. It took them 3 days to find Jesus. And if you're a parent, you have some idea of the state of fear and grief and, I would think, rage that they would have been in when they finally, at long last, came into the temple and saw Jesus sitting calmly in serious conversation with the most respected men in Jerusalem, all unawares that he had caused his parents any grief at all. I feel like probably Luke toned down their reaction a bit. "Child, why have you treated us like this?" he says. I imagine it was a little stronger than that. And here we learn something about the Son of God that is very hard for us to imagine. Jesus, the 12-year-old Jesus, didn't realize how utterly panicked his parents would have been. He didn't realize that they couldn't know what was so obvious and so reasonable to him. Didn't they know that he would be in the house of his father? Jesus, the boy, was lacking in that understanding. Paul wrote later to the church in Philippi, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." When Paul tells us that our Lord emptied himself, letting go of the privilege and the strength and the glory of his godness, one of the things that means is that Jesus had to learn. He didn't always understand. Jesus had to grow up as any child has to grow up. The writer to the Hebrews tells us that it is that very thing that makes Jesus such a perfect and such a compassionate high priest for us. Although he was a son, he writes, and he means the Son, a Son of God, Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. Luke tells us this story so we can see Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our Master, in the process of learning obedience, suffering the anger and disappointment of his parents, coming to an understanding that he didn't have before, and growing in his obedience to them. To me, it's almost unthinkable that the God of the universe would become a being so much like us, even in our ignorance, even in our weakness, that he would have to learn obedience and not just be perfectly and effortlessly obedient right from the get-go. And yet, we see that he did out of his great love for us, so that in truly sharing our humanity, we might also share his divine life. The writer to the Hebrews also tells us that Jesus had to fight against temptation, just like we have to fight against temptation, but without ever giving in. Our Lord, who was fully God, grew up to be a man who was wise and compassionate and without sin, not because it was no big deal to him, but because he grew into his personhood. Jesus, our own teacher, struggled against temptation and he overcame. He emptied himself. He became a helpless infant and he grew up step by painful step, just as we all had to do. And that tells us probably a billion things, but it tells us at least two very important things about ourselves as well. It tells us, first of all, that God never despises us in our ignorance and our weakness. He chose to know exactly what it's like to have to learn, what it's like to need to grow up, which we all know isn't something that ends at age 13 or ends at any age. We need to keep growing up in our understanding, growing in our abilities, growing in our obedience for as long as we are alive. That fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, that doesn't just spring fully formed from our heads or our hearts when we become Christians. It takes our whole lives for God to form those things in us. And he's patient with us. He's certainly more patient with us than we are with ourselves, because he knows what it is like to be unfinished. Isn't that an amazing thing? Our God understands from the inside what it is to be a human being in the process of growing. That, I think, is one of the great mysteries of our faith. And the other thing that we learn that I want to point out from this picture of our Lord as a boy is that our errors and our ignorance and our shortcomings are being unfinished. That's not sin. We know that Jesus suffered everything that goes along with the human experience with one great exception. He was without sin always. Sin is turning our backs on God by choosing not to love, and Jesus always chose to love. And goodness knows we have all sinned in our lives many times over, choosing not to love. And every time we sin, we need to repent, and we need to be healed, and we need to start over. But all too often, we waste so much time and energy, I think, feeling guilt, feeling shame for our failings that are not sin at all, but just the unfinished business of our growing up. When we're weak, when we make mistakes, when we lack understanding, when we've been hurt and our wounds are still healing, when we suffer depression or anxiety, Jesus knows. He knows that we need healing and growth and not condemnation. He knows because he also had to grow up. Knowing in his heart that he belonged in the house of his heavenly Father, Luke tells us that Jesus chose to be obedient to his earthly mother and father. He He chose to go back with them to Nazareth. He chose to learn obedience by submitting himself to them, even though they were normal, imperfect, flawed human beings. He wasn't pretending to learn obedience. He wasn't just going through some kind of motions. Even though he was truly God, he truly grew in obedience through the growing pains that every one of us has to suffer. And we know that the Father was pleased by the obedience that he saw growing in his Son, so that at his baptism he spoke from heaven in a voice that everybody could hear, "This is my beloved Son. In him I am well pleased." Amen. Mm-hmm.